Well, we're going to do things a little differently this week or today. I hope to actually have some classroom participation because we lost a good guy this week, a giant in the faith, Billy Graham, and I want to spend a little time going over his life and remembering some of the awesome things he did and how it impacted the whole world, of course. But he's from our little area of the world, too, and that's kind of neat to be a part of that. Dave was able to pull up a bunch of different pictures of different events in Billy Graham's life. And we're going to kind of go through them and just review a lot of the things that he has done. As I just kind of looked through his life, it's amazing how many different things he has done and how innovative he was in so many different areas. He was the first person to do a lot of different things that we now, everybody does all the time. But before he did them, people didn't do them. And it's just the evangelistic crusades. He was the first person to do those on that kind of a scale and go all over the world. I think he had something like 430 different crusades. And, I mean, probably other than maybe somebody in the Bible themselves, I don't know of anybody who has been more instrumental in bringing a larger number of people to the Lord as Billy Graham. And we got to be around, you know, while he did it. It was really a wonderful thing to observe. I don't know if anybody here has had any either personal interaction with him, being close by, or was affected by him personally, maybe through your own salvation or through the salvation of one of your family members, loved ones, or whatever. I'm hoping that you have some stories you might could share to add to the tribute to Billy today. So if you have that, please be bold and share it as we kind of go through a couple things. And I've got a microphone up here we can pass around. But we just want to look at some of the things that he has done and how he's impacted some lives. So Dave, can you start with some pictures and we'll kind of go through them and look at them a little bit. This is a very, very young Billy Graham there, early on, and when he was first starting his preaching. Look how skinny he is. and there, him and Ruth, of course, and I'm thinking that's maybe about the time they got married there. And then we've got some, he was a real fire and brimstone preacher, especially in the beginning, was very, very bold with his preaching. And we'll see different pictures of him at different ages and different crusades. Now, here's an interesting picture. Guess where this picture was taken? Anybody know? Grassy Creek. Very good. That was taken very close to my house. And that is the first foursome that ever played on Grassy Creek Golf Course. And Billy Graham was one of the first four. So that's kind of neat to know that he was the in the inaugural foursome there. I don't know when that was. I think that was probably mid-50s, something like that. 1956. Okay. So I wasn't even born yet there. So that's neat. There we go with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all five of his children. And that's another thing that was really interesting about him is how his children all turned out. All of them following the Lord. Karen and I, when we went to the Cove I don't know, maybe 6 months ago or so. I don't know if you've ever been able to go to an event at the Cove, but if you get a chance, you really ought to do it. It's just an awesome place, and boy, the way they treat you there, the food and stuff, is just out of this world. And so we were there eating at the Cove, and this lady comes by to fill up our glass with iced tea, and I looked at her, and she kind of had, I don't know how to describe it, she kind of had that Billy Graham look in her. You know, she had those features, you know, and I kind of looked at her, and then Karen said something like, are you one of Billy Graham's children? And she goes, yes, I am. It's the one on the little girl. No, I'm sorry. It was the one on the right, closest to Billy Graham there. And I can't think of her name right now. But what is it? Yes, that's what she said, Juju. We just started talking to her, and she just sat down and started talking to us, just like we were important people. Talked to us about her brother and her dad, and just like we were like in her family. That's just, you know, the kind of people they are. They're just such humble people, and the whole family's that way. I don't think it's her son, but Will, the grandson, I think that's Franklin's son. He's in charge of the Cove, and he just, you know, is just sits down and talks with you, and like I say, just like your family, just a really neat family. This is some pictures of some of his when he's on his crusades. He met with, I think I heard, 7 different presidents. Did y'all hear that? Starting with, I believe it was Truman, and has met even with Donald Trump. He didn't meet with him as president. I think he met with him before he became president, but all the way through Barack Obama. Whose birthday? Billy Graham's. Trump came to his birthday party. Okay. But yes, and I was hearing a quote from George W. Bush that he credited Billy Graham for his ability to kick his alcohol problem, that it was because of, I don't know, conversation they had, that he went cold turkey after that and got totally off alcohol. So this is, one of our presidents was impacted directly by him in his spiritual life. And he didn't just talk about the alcohol. He talked about, you know, the spiritual ramifications of talking with Billy. So it was neat to see that the impact that he had on their lives. You're gonna have to pardon my voice. I hope it holds up on me, but I've had this bronchial thing all week long, and I'm gonna try to go. That's why it helps if you talk to. Does anybody have anything that's jumped out so far that they would like to share, or a personal insight on something maybe that they know about or know of with Billy Graham? Okay, let me hand you the microphone, Dina. Make sure it's on. It's not on. Thank you. Make sure I hit the power button. There we go. I have glasses. Thank you. Okay, go, Dina.
My first husband and I were friends with his nephew. And one day, I knew he was, Daryl Graham was his name. And I had got to be friends with the wife. And I was over at her house one day, and we were flipping through her picture, wedding pictures was on the table. And I was flipping through them, and there was Billy Graham. And I said, oh, Bonnie, are you related to Billy Graham? And she said, yes, said, that's my husband's uncle. So, but he never, you know, they never broadcast it or anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I didn't pick up on it earlier, because he looked just like Billy Graham. He looked...
There's that Graham look, isn't it?
Well, he looked more like Billy Graham than his own sons did.
Huh.
Well, anyway, so he came to the Civic Center. And that's probably been 38 years ago, something like that. Anyway, and so Bonnie and Daryl got us front row seats. So I was, you know, so I was really, you know, privileged to get on front row.
Yeah.
And that was very exciting.
Yeah, neat. Thank you. Gladys, do you want? There's a microphone coming from behind.
Oh, our church, we went with a tour group. Our church got a tour bus, and we went to the Billy Graham Crusade when he was in Charlotte. And so a lot of us at least got to go to that crusade. Some of us have been to others, but as a church, we did go down when he was in Charlotte.
Hmm. Come on up, Dave.
Coming up here.
He's coming to me.
To add on what Gladys was saying, that was in 1996, and it poured the rain all the way down there, all the way at the beginning of the crusade, and quick as Billy Graham stepped out on stage, the rain stopped.
How about that?
Connections.
That's right. Over here, Dave. Up front.
Hold up close.
My dad and my brother one time went on Grandfather Mountain because Billy was up there preaching. And my brother said it was pouring the rain and said, just like Tammy had mentioned, when he walked out on the stage, the rain suddenly stopped and said the most beautiful sunlight come shining through upon him up on that stage preaching. And that was something my father would tell and retell and retell. It meant so much to him and my brother.
When we were raising our children, we lived in Florida for 10 years, and one of the young men that grew up with our son has ended up becoming a very strong Christian, and he is the head of the Tim Tebow Foundation now. Working with Tim, and I'm blessed to be staying connected with folks like that through Facebook. And Eric shared that when he was a young man, he was volunteering at a Billy Graham crusade, and he didn't think much of it. And one of his jobs was to make sure the golf cart batteries were charged up every night. So that was his big job. He said he was standing there when Billy Graham showed up in the car, and he had to be helped out of the car. This is probably in the 90s, I think, because he'd already been diagnosed with Parkinson's. And Eric, this young man, looked at him and thought to himself, how can this man do four nights of a crusade? He can't even walk by himself. And Billy had to be helped up onto the stage, and he sat there looking very weak, and he had to be helped up to the podium. And when his hands touched the podium, Eric said there was such a transformation, just like we see every morning, every Sunday morning.
That's what's called a left-handed compliment.
Consider it a compliment. There was such a transformation, the strength that was there. And he did it for four nights, even though he could barely get himself around. God gave him the power and the strength to do what he needed to do for those four nights, and it made a difference in that young man's life.
I got to see Billy Graham when I was about 13 years old. Our church youth group went to Greenville, South Carolina, where he was having his crusade. And I was so upset because we were sitting in the nosebleed section with this nice big column right in front of us, you know. So I was having to get up and kind of, you know, sneak up to the edge because it was up in the balcony area, and so I could see Billy Graham. But I'll never forget it. And then ended up at Appalachian when Franklin was there. So I did see him on campus quite a lot, you know, for the time that he was there. And he was always a blessing to me. I read his magazine and everything as I was developing into a Christian. And I've always thought he was just a wonderful man.
I got to see him. I think I was a teenager in Tampa when he came to the Tampa Stadium, and it was just a great experience. I remember it was a week long crusade, and my parents wanted to go see him live and be there, and I got the opportunity to go too, and it was just I've always been struck with how when he gives a message, it is so simple. I mean, if you time his sermons, most of them are about 12 minutes long. And as he often would say, if you've only got 10 minutes to talk to somebody, make a beeline for the cross. And that's what he did. And it's so simple. I wonder, how can so many people have such a dramatic response to it, because you know how many people come down in these crusades. I mean, you might have a stadium with 60, 70,000 people in it. You might have 5, 6, 7,000 people accept the Lord. I mean, that's huge. And to hear what he says, you think, well, what's the big deal? And I think that the big deal was the preparation that went behind the prayer and all that went behind these crusades. He had people that spent a lot of time praying for God to move in the hearts of these people for every single crusade. I'm just now reminded of a lady because I read a devotion. Karen would know more about it. You remember the lady that used to follow him around that worked as a cleaning lady, and her goal in life was to go to every one of his crusades and to pray, just to pray for the souls of people that, you know, would get saved. And we'll find that devotion and share it. But that was her calling, was just to pray for Billy Graham and his crusade. So he had these kind of prayer warriors following him around, and I think that was the secret to his success. Of course, the gospel is a very simple message. It doesn't have to be complicated. But boy, did he change lives. What else do we got? We have the Cove we've already mentioned in our area, which is what a great place for pastors and people in full-time ministry. They dedicate this place for people who've kind of been burnt out or disillusioned or whatever, for military, things like that, where you can go and just rest and get good teaching and worship the Lord and stuff like that. It doesn't cost anything, you know, it's all for that. Joe, you got something you want to say? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Jim?
One of the things that you may not know, before he did a crusade, he would go into the community that he was having the crusade, and he would ask that all the pastors be there. And what he would tell the pastors is, there are going to be several people who come forward and make a commitment to Christ. That's just the beginning of their Christianity. They now need to be disciples. So as you saw people come down, he would have a staff of people there, mostly volunteer from that community, and they would write down the name, address, and telephone numbers of each one of those individuals that made a commitment to Christ. And those cards went back to each one of those pastors, and he told those pastors it was their responsibility to follow up with each and every one that made a commitment to Christ so those pastors could take them, get them in a church, and disciple.
Mm-hmm. He saw the value of the follow-up, didn't he?
This is probably not going to be real significant, but anyhow, I didn't become a Christian until later in life. You all have heard me say that before, but I always knew as a child in society and living life that Billy Graham was an icon and he stood for something very valuable. So I don't know if, and I remember listening to some of his crusades on TV, just it would, I don't care who you were, it would stop you and make you listen. So I don't know what impact that had on my life, but even as a little girl growing up until I became a Christian, he was always an icon and stood for something greater than we'll ever know.
I think his, you can, Dave will get you there, Deborah. One of his, you know, real virtues is his humility, and just never thought of himself more than what he should. And I mean, the world would consider him a great man, but he just considered himself just old Billy. And it's, as somebody said, I heard this week, when they were planning all the funerals, you know, they had a thing at the Cove and a little bit at the library, and now he's in Washington, D.C. for a couple of days. And the guy, the questioner said, is this what Billy had wanted? And the guy says, no, he would not have wanted this. He's way too humble. He would not have wanted to make a big deal. He said, we're doing this despite what he wanted because the world, you know, needs to celebrate his life. So that's just the kind of the way he was. Deborah, did you get a microphone?
Yes. We were blessed to get to go twice with the military for free and get the royal treatment. Gigi filled our cups.
At the Cove?
Yes. And, I mean, just full military guys packed out and their wives. So it's a very, twice, so that was a very nice experience.
Did Gigi serve you, too? Did she fill up your iced tea, too? Okay.
Just opportunities, the Decision Magazine, it's already been mentioned. It's a great way to witness. It's very inexpensive. Like at one time it was $10, $12 for a whole year. I think that was 12 subscriptions. You can send it out to your families, you got friends. It's a great way to send out a platform of the gospel message through their Decision Magazine. And they have like gift subscriptions and also. And then Franklin Graham's going out to the left coast, good old California, Washington State, Oregon, and probably one of the most unchurched areas, one of the most hostile places there to Christianity. But God's God's greater than he that is in the world. So I expect to see wonderful things. He's actually going to my old alma mater, UC Berkeley. Franklin Graham is, which started out as a Christian university. And it's sad to see some of the headlines now that reflect Berkeley, but great opportunities and all through Billy Graham and now his family and the Book of Acts continues and that's yep. That's our mission too, to continue on. So, yep. Amen.
Just about every university in our country was started out as a Christian university. In fact, I don't know of any that weren't, but it's a constant battle to keep them Christian. Gladys?
We can't think of Billy Graham and not think what he did to join the people of color together. He would not preach in South Africa until apartheid had been taken care of and black and white could come to the services there. And then he was in New York. And the black were not coming as many as he wanted to. They were in the city, but they weren't coming to his crusades. That it was white people mostly. And so he went to a black minister and said, "What can I do?" And he said, "Billy, you're going to have to get out where they are." Mm-hmm. And so Billy went into the churches, he went into the streets, and he preached. And he did more for segregation quietly than anybody in the world has done. And
one of the clips I heard him preaching on this week was preaching to a black crowd. And he said something like, "You know, you may have heard that Christianity is a white man's religion." He said, "Don't you believe it? You know, that God loves every one of us the same." And that, at the time he said that, that was not, you know, a real popular thing to say.
That's right. God is not a God of the blacks or the whites.
Right. Uh-huh. And he broke through a lot of the racial barriers that other people weren't willing to break through at the time.
And he went behind the Iron Curtain. He went where many people could not go. He did go.
Right.
And preached the word. And on his tombstone, it's John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no man cometh unto the Father but through me." And when you were at his crusades in the latter years, after we got neon signs and different things in the stadiums, that would be huge. You could see it from many places in the stadium, the scriptures. "I am the way, the truth, and the light," and that will be on his tombstone.
Another thing about him was his integrity. I've never heard anything said bad about his integrity his whole life. Now, think about a lot of the other Christian leaders that are on TV and in the news and stuff, and how almost all of them have some kind of black eye, some way, shape, or form, because of some shortcoming or some sin in their life. You never heard that about him. In fact, there were people, you may not know this, there were people who were trying to falsely accuse him on any number of occasions of doing bad things just so that they could tear him down. There was a reporter that traveled around with a female, I don't know what she would call it, let's call her a model. And their goal was to try to catch Billy in a compromising photograph with this woman. So she would always kind of be close by and try to be able to, so that he could be there to snap a picture, you know, that would be the downfall of Billy Graham. And it usually involved her taking her clothes off. What she would do, what they would oftentimes do, is find out what hotel he's at. And then they would go and she would try to just knock on his door and just kind of work her way into his room by force if necessary, and then he would be there to take a quick picture. She wouldn't have any clothes on. She would just have like a coat on, and then she just dropped the coat, and then it was his job was to just to take the picture. I don't know if you ever heard those stories, but it was tried one particular evening at a particular hotel that he was in, and they got the rooms, him and, you know, he had his team he was traveling with. Well, one of the guys had some kind of an allergic reaction in his room, and he couldn't stay in his room. So he asked Billy if he would switch rooms with him. So Billy said, "Yeah, I'll switch rooms with you." Well, the girl went to what she thought was Billy Graham's room, knocked on the door, and when he opened the door, she pushed it open, dropped her raincoat, and the guy took the picture, but Billy wasn't in the picture. It was the other guy. So that's how far they had to go to try to find something against his integrity, because he would never, you know, allow himself to be in a position like that where it could even be claimed, you know, that he did something wrong. So very smart, too. He planned ahead. He realized that there were, Satan was going to, you know, actively try to tear him down, so he took whatever steps were necessary to you know, to keep that kind of thing from happening. But anybody else got anything? Yes, ma'am. Marianne over here. We'll get you next, ma'am. Need what? Yes.
Okay. This was shortly after I became a Christian, and that was in 1986. Billy Graham's team came to Columbia, South Carolina, so I was a part of the group that was helping set up, and I was also on the phones during the Crusades. So I didn't actually get to go out very often to see the Crusade. Something that happened, there was a woman, and she, thank goodness she was a Christian, and she was my son's first grade teacher. And she went up the spiral walk-ups that you get to the different levels in the stadium, and she jumped down and committed suicide. Well, I think this was like the second. She'd done it during the day, so that night. It was just a somber spirit, and that kind of carried over for the rest of the crusade. But it was so interesting to see how he incorporated that into what he had to present to the people, and it was powerful.
Hmm. Matt mentioned that we're not talking too much about Ruth. Do you have something to share about her? Yes. The funniest story I remember about Ruth, you probably have heard it, but she was asked at a woman's conference if she had ever considered a divorce in her life. And she said, no, divorce, never. She said, murder, maybe, but not divorce. So maybe he was hard to get along with in a personal standpoint. But anybody else have anything?
Thank goodness for the Cove Camp that Brent went to for many, many years. And
Kids went there 1 year, too.
Uh-huh, and he did, and he loved it. And so he kept going back and going back and going back. So I would say he probably went about 7 years.
Wow.
And once he graduated, they didn't have any more time for him, and he got into other things. But thank you. That was great, because now it's not, I don't think it's a part of it now. I think they sold it off.
I didn't even know
but
that.
It was during that time that they owned it.
Yeah, when we would come up for the summers back before we moved up here, that's one place we took the kids to the Cove Camp, and they loved it too. An innovator, as I mentioned before, we've just talked about just a few things that he started. The other thing that he kind of started, which we don't really give him credit for, is the Christian movies that are coming out now are really getting some good Christian movies out. He kind of was the person who started that. He started Christian films back in the 70s. That before that, it just wasn't a thing you did. You didn't make Christian films. And I remember there was a movie called The Prodigal that his association put out. But he kind of got the movie things spearheaded. You know, of course, now we got Samaritan's Purse, we got the Shoebox Ministries, we've got all sorts of other things that he still has the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association that's still doing all sorts of wonderful things around the world. So it's, yes, that's true. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, he put them on TV. He's got a radio station, you know, at the Cove there, 106.9 The Light. That was started by his evangelical association. I'm pointing to Millie. Do you have something?
You were talking about the Cove. That was a favorite place for Bill and I went many times. We met with David Jeremiah, Joseph Stowell, and Ann Graham Lotz were three of the ones that I remember. And it was due to the Cove that we were able to do that. It is a great place, and if you ever get a chance, I would tell you to go.
Absolutely. And Gladys is trying to say something.
I just wanted to say something about the radio station. Mm-hmm. Ruth and Billy were the instigators behind that because of the mountain people up here who did not have the word, and they wanted the word spread to the mountain people, and so they were the push behind the radio station.
Mm-hmm. It just shows, you know, the imagination that he had. Look at all these different ministries that will now continue to flourish, and he would step away from them as he needed to, and as somebody found somebody that could do the job, he would step away and let somebody else do it. So he was a very, very humble man and all. Well, we have used up all of our time here. Does anybody else have anything? I don't want to shut anybody out if they got anything else they want to share. There's a few more pictures there. That's Vietnam, I believe, right there.
About the prison, because the inmates made Ruth Graham's casket and also his casket. The inmates from Angola. Down in Louisiana. And his casket was made in 206, but it's very, very simple. But he even had a prison ministry.
Yeah. He's gone. You don't have to. She's handing the microphone to somebody that's not there. Okay. The Great Wall of China there. That would be one of his Chinese crusades. President Reagan. That's the family picture. Picture at... And Dave told me that this is his actual house in Montreat. And he said it was two log cabins that were kind of combined and connected.
And Ruth Graham closed the window on Franklin when he was trying to get into his room. She locked him out on the roof.
He was a bit of a rebel in the beginning, wasn't he?
On their house. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, I mentioned that he credits him for turning his life around, really. It sounded like he was saying, without coming out and saying it, that he got saved through him. That's what it sounded like. Okay. Is that about it, Dave? That looks like the Berlin Wall, George Bush. Nancy Reagan praying at Bill Clinton's. And that's where he got knighted, I think, in England, by the way. Sitting on the front porch. That's it. I know which one you left out. Okay. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the life of one solitary person who made it his goal to serve you and to follow you and to make you the most important thing in his life. And as a result of that, we see literally millions and millions of lives who were changed and who are greeting him now, even as we speak in heaven, and thanking him for the impact that he made in their lives. And we celebrate his life. We thank you for his life. We pray that, Lord, that in our own small way that we may have that same kind of dedication to you and in our lives. So we just thank you for the exemplary life of Billy Graham. This world needs heroes, and he is one of our heroes, and we thank you for him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.